We're looking at the new anti-war movement. My guest, Bob Edgar, is the General Secretary of the National Council of Churches, which opposes a U.S. war with Iraq. He's also the co-chair of the coalition Win Without War. Both groups have been organizing anti-war demonstrations. In December, Edgar went to Iraq with a delegation to carry out what he's described as humanitarian inspections. On Martin Luther King Day, the National Council of Churches held a prayer service and procession at the National Cathedral in Washington. The National Council of Churches helped organize Saturday's anti-war march in Washington. I asked Edgar if he's comfortable with the politics of the Answer Coalition, which organized the march.
Well, I think it's a real important question, and my experience in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now in the new century is that movements like the movement Dr. King had to move us away from segregation to civil rights and the anti-war movement of the 60s gathered around it a large coalition of people, some of whom I would feel comfortable with and some of whom would make me nervous. And one of the difficult things about working to stop this war in Iraq is that in order to build enough momentum, you've got to work with a lot of different coalitions and coalition partners. The umbrella under which most of this is operating is a group called United for Peace, and as part of that, the Answer Group is a component of it. A group of us who are part of that United for Peace, who find the tactics that go too far to one extreme or the other, formed a subset of coalition partners called Win Without War. While our people show up at these larger rallies, we have some difficulty. Often it's Al Sharpton who gets to speak rather than the Episcopal Bishop of Washington or the United Methodist Bishop of Washington. And Answer tends to focus on names that they think will draw a crowd, and I believe that while I respect their ability to gather folks, they don't speak for all of us, and that's why we ended this weekend of peacemaking with a very prayerful, thoughtful prayer vigil, which may speak much more closely to middle America as opposed to some of the issues that are raised by some of these peace partners who have other agendas.
Are you worried about those other agendas, and are you worried that the leadership, like the Answer Coalition, is going to misrepresent the agenda of the larger group of people within the peace movement, or that it would make it possible for large peace demonstrations like last Saturday's to be discredited?
I'm not so worried about it. On Saturday, I know there were people demonstrating who were from the group called Peaceful Tomorrows. These are made up of people whose family members were killed in 9/11, and I respect the fact that they went over to Iraq and they said, we've had enough victims, let's find another way. Present on Saturday were thousands of average ordinary citizens, housewives and young men and women who simply can't find justification for this war. So, yes, we would hope that some of the more radical groups would modify some of their tactics. We don't think that it's a problem to find other means and venues, even inside of big demonstrations like the one that took place on Saturday. And frankly, I think that it's unheard of to have as broad a coalition against this war before the war even starts.
Now, you're coming at this from an interesting perspective, because you're not only the head of the National Council of Churches, you're a former congressman from Pennsylvania, former Democratic congressman. You served six terms, and you were in Congress when the war in Vietnam ended. Can you talk a little bit about what impact you think peace demonstrations had on Congress during the Vietnam era?
My experience there was that in the 60s and early 70s, anyone who opposed the war was thought of as un-American, and it took organized religion a long time to come to its opposition. When we shut down the war in April of 1975, I was there on the House floor. We celebrated shutting it down, but we shut it down many, many years too late and with a lot of pulling of institutional religion. What's different today is that those religious traditions that took so long back in the 60s and early 70s are already out in front in opposition to this war. And many of them across the United States have said, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to sit back. And we think it is American. It is being a good citizen to stand up and speak out when we see injustice or when we oppose something. So I think there's a difference, and I think the difference comes from experience.
Do you consider yourself categorically opposed to war, or was this a difficult decision to make about the war against Iraq?
Well, I'm not categorically opposed to all wars. I think if there's a nation that is subjugating its people, we ought to intervene. I think we should have intervened in the Rwanda situation when it was clear that millions of people were being hacked to death. And I wonder why we did not intervene in that effort to at least stop the violence. But I think wars have to be just, and we need justification. So, to answer your specific question, if Saddam Hussein was lobbing weapons at someone, if he was invading a neighbor, there could be some justification for war. But I think this president has won the war with Iraq. We ought to celebrate the victory. The inspectors are in. We really ought to let them inspect.
If the UN weapons inspectors do find weapons of mass destruction, would you then support bombing Iraq?
No. I think if the weapons inspectors find weapons of mass destruction, they should destroy them.
And they might think that there's others that they're not going to find. And that Saddam Hussein, if he stays in power, will use them.
Yeah. Just finding the weapons isn't justification for going to war. There are 20 or 30 nations that have weapons of mass destruction. You got Pakistan and India that are 7 minutes apart by missile to each other's capital with nuclear weapons. And we've had a mixed history with both Pakistan and India. I think it's a very dangerous precedent to say we're going to bomb any nation that has weapons of mass destruction. I think that clearly we can have more confidence now that we have inspectors there. And if they find canisters, as they did a few weeks ago, destroy them, move on, look for more, add more inspectors. But I don't think that the use of military force or war is the answer to every diplomatic question that we face in our world today.
You were in Iraq in early January on a mission that you described as humanitarian inspection. And I'm wondering if you saw anything there that you didn't expect to see.
I didn't expect to see mothers huddled with their children next to incubators that were broken in the hospital. I didn't expect to see Bishop Mel Talbert of the United Methodist Church at a Chaldean Catholic church on New Year's Eve, bringing in the new year by singing "We Shall Overcome" and having the congregation respond. I was impressed with the Muslim and Christian people who together felt they could live in peace with each other. And I was very much moved by the fact that Baghdad is the size of Paris, and if we do go to war, there are going to be deaths, thousands and thousands of deaths, not just of our military people, but those very beautiful faces that we saw and the children that we met at the schools and hospitals and churches who are going to be bombed.
Bob Edgar, you're the head of the National Council of Churches. And so you're the head of a group of religious people. President Bush is a religious person, and he completely disagrees with your point of view on Iraq. The terrorists who struck us on September 11th, they were pious people. You might disagree with their interpretation of Islam, but they profess to have deep faith. So people on all sides of this right now profess deep faith about religion. I'm not sure what my question is, but I'm sure this is something you've been thinking about a lot.
Well, let me say two things. One is I think all of us suffer from our fundamentalist whether our fundamentalists are Muslim or Christian or Jewish. We're living in a world of violence because our fundamentalists have said and acted in violent ways. Most of the major religions, particularly Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, grow out of the roots of Abraham. Abraham is the father of all three traditions. And I think it's important for those of us who find ourselves with moderate and progressive views within the broader religious community to both speak publicly and privately with each other and find those common areas of peace and justice. Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all lift high the value of peacemaking, love of the planet, care of our brothers and sisters, and particularly care of our children. And I think that it's incumbent, particularly here in the United States, for Christians, Jews, and Muslims to model different behavior. If we allow our world to be propelled into moving to the direction of our fundamentalists, we're going to find ourselves in a very violent century and in a very religious confrontation that all of us will be losers because of that.
Well, Bob Edgar, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's great to be with you, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Bob Edgar is the General Secretary of the National Council of Churches and co-chair of the new coalition, Win Without War. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Patty Leswing, Ian Chillog, and Jessica Chu. I'm Terry Gross.